Thank you for coming. A sea of smiling faces. This is lovely. I'll soon put a stop to that. Let's get this show on the road. My name's Rob Miles, 3ws.robmiles.com. I must apologize frequently, but on this occasion, my blog's a little bit behind time because I've not had a chance to update it yet because the network's not been friendly to me, but everything that I say and everything that I do and stuff will end up on robmiles.com, including the talk I'm about to give, the presentation, maybe not the jokes, because apparently people aren't interested in them, so it'll log up there. Shall I start with my favourite computer joke of all time? You've probably heard it already. Go on, shall I do this? Yeah, say yes, good. There's these three guys in a car. Have you heard this one? The car breaks down on the road, and first chap says, he says, I'm a chemist. When a car fails, it's normally because the fuel-air mixture is incorrect and the reaction isn't taking place properly inside the engine. And the second guy says, that's rubbish. I'm an engineer, electrical, and the primary cause of engine failures in cars is the ignition system failing to make a spark that causes the fuel-air mixture to ignite. So there. And the third guy goes, ha, I'm a computer scientist. Let's get out of the car, get back in and see if it starts. way to diss the professor. I like that. It's one of my favourite jokes of all time. Hopefully one day it might be one of yours. So that's got the humour out of the way. Good time to mention the review process. Again, as I said yesterday, I have no idea what the round thing with the holes in is, but it's branded Microsoft and it's therefore desirable. The other four I've got, it says here, the other four I've got pretty well sus, but if you fill in the form things and send them back, there is a chance you could actually win one of 20 prizes. There's probably 19 of those round things. No, I'm sure that's not how it works. Maybe 18. Anywho, please do that because it kind of drives the process. What we're going to do today is talk about monogame. Before I do that, how many game developers do we have in the house? Or even in this room? Okay, one, that's a start. How many X and A writers have we got? Two or three. Okay, the rest of you are just here for the wonderful joke. Everyone stands up and leaves. No, stick around. This is kind of interesting, I think. It's two reasons why I really like writing games. The first is that they're kind of sort of a good way to pick up skills and learn stuff. I can teach people the rudiments of physics with a fairly simple little game, purely on the basis that we need some laws to make sure that objects in the game behave themselves. I can teach people a little bit of vector arithmetic, a little bit about matrices, and all kinds of gnarly stuff that students where I work tend to be averse to learning, it would seem. But if you put it in a game context, it goes down extremely well. But the other reason, and the main reason why I like writing games, is it's kind of recreational programming. Of the best possible kind, because if you're writing software for a spec and you miss the spec, then you get fired, you lose your job, you end up on the streets drinking out of a paper bag and people shun you and whatnot. So if your software doesn't work in real life, then that's a big bad thing. If you're writing a game and you get it wrong, you just say, it's meant to do that. Because in a game, you've got complete control of everything. If when you start the game up, rather than things falling down, they fall upwards, you go, well, it's underwater, isn't it? And then off you go. The nice thing about games is that you can learn as much and have as much fun from the mistakes and the behaviors that you end up creating intentionally or unintentionally as you can about the things you're trying to do. And quite often, in my experience, the mistakes and the bits that you just, okay, I've got 20 of those, I'll try 200, see what happens now. Change one variable, run the thing, and something different happens. And so the nice thing about game creation is that you can doodle with code in a way you can't really do any other way, because you can just play with stuff and see what kind of mechanic emerges. I do a lot of teaching of programming and we use games where I work at University of Hull, and we found them very successful for this. And what I say to the students, because they always have enormous ideas, they'll have a big meeting of a game development team that we'll set up for a competition, and they'll say, okay, we had a really great meeting, Rob. What have you done? We've had 6 new ideas for the game. Right. How many problems have you solved? Oh, none, but we'll do that later. So they basically spent 2 hours broadening the scope and making the job they've got even harder. And they learn pretty quick that's a bad plan. The thing with games that you should go for, really, in my experience, is, and this is actually carries across to most proper development, get something simple working and build on it. If you have a great, big, grand plan, which you're going to make work eventually, you're kind of screwed, I reckon. If you have something simple that looks fun and interesting and maybe useful, and you iterate on a working system at all times, then that, for me, is the way forward. And with games, that basically means getting some things moving around the screen, bouncing off each other, add some behaviors, add some physics, and then pick it up and roll forward and see where you end up. And that's what I like about game writing. It's a great way, if you like coding, and just playing around with programs, and you want to do something which is pretty much risk-free in terms of whatever you get, you'll learn something, worst case, then write some games. It's great fun. So I'll get off the soapbox now and tell you a little bit about XNA. we're going to get a bit of history, a bit of mono game, a bit of how you get the content from your XNA games into your mono game solutions, and a little bit about what mono game is and how you work with it. And so here we go. XNA history. Well, many, many years ago, in 2006, so all right, 7 or 8 years ago, not that many years ago, Microsoft announced this thing called XNA, and no one knows what XNA stands for. They say it might stand for XNA is not an acronym, which is kind of like computer science humor, I guess. I know all about that. And so they made this thing, and it's not just a library of methods you can use to put things on the screen and move them around. It's actually a complete cohesive framework. It includes the content management and the pipelines for getting assets into the game. It includes lots and lots of sort of the build side of things as well. And so they brought this thing out as the great white hope and the way forward. And the thing about XNA which makes it attractive from my point of view is it's entirely managed code. And every now and then, my boss and myself would have an argument because Warren, one of my many bosses, he was very keen on AAA gold standard games, the ones you find Call of Duty type level. Those are all written in C++, and the reason they're done that way is because that's where the performance lives. And if you want to get straight line, massive amounts of everything, then you end up writing in C++. And he was saying that C-sharp is no good for that kind of game because it just doesn't have the performance, the managed aspect slows things down too much. And he's probably right at the very sharp end. But lots of games are not like that. Angry Birds does not need the massive power of a AAA processor, but it's sold tons and tons and tons. And the benefits of writing in managed code are so many that effectively it's the best place to be. And so you're writing C#. So if you know C#, then you can do it. If you want to write Visual Basic, you can do that too. And you can write VB and write your games in that. Came out in 2006, and it was good. You can write code, game code for Windows PC, Xbox 360, Zune. Remember the Zune? I loved the Zune. Zune was a great device. Brackets deceased, close brackets. And Windows Phone 2. And so you can use this platform to write games that go across the whole spectrum of Microsoft tech. And you could publish them in the Xbox 360 indie games area. And quite a few people did this and made a name for themselves. See, what I tell my students at Hull is, while you're doing your studies, you're actually engaged in what I would call brand building. The reason you will publish a game on Windows Phone or whatnot is not because it'll make you rich. It might do, but the best reason for putting it out there is because once it's out there, you can point people at it and they can find it. And so when you go for that interview at EA or Sony or Codemasters and they say, what have you done? You can give them a list of things and point them at things in the store. Because in my experience, again, giving folk advice on careers, game companies and employers aren't that interested in what you do in your course. If you say, I did a really good assignment that got blah number of marks, I'll go, meh, that's okay. But if you say, I wrote this thing for the hell of it, I've no idea why, but it's in the store and it's got a couple of five-star reviews and it's kind of funky, that's what they want to hear. They want to sort of know that you're interested in the business, not just passing modules. And so it's great for that. It's great for brand building. And XNA is lovely for this. And you could write things and publish them. And if you want to write 2D games, just things moving around, which is perfect for mobile platform, XNA is great. And I'll show you how good it is for that a bit further on in the session. You can write in 3D if you like. You can bring in big models and animate them and move them around. You can write your own shaders. You can even put shaders on the phone if you want to do that kind of thing. And it's a well-designed object framework, and it's great for teaching and casual game creation. And you can play with this, you can doodle with code, and it's the subject of a number of excellent books. The best one that you can get is called Learning Programming with XNA 4 by a certain Rob Miles of this parish. If you really want to learn how to program, I think the programming side, you folks already know that bit. The book itself teaches from first principles, but if you've got kids or chums that want to get into programming, there are worse places to start. There's the previous version, that was rubbish. So the sad news is that last year it was deprecated, sad face, which is, they have all these words for killed off or deadified. Deprecated, sunsetted. That's a great one. We're going to sunset you, Rob. Oh, great, thanks. Is that a good thing? Version 4 came out in 2010, and after that, it wasn't really developed any further. To be honest, I was quite pleased about that, because version 4 of XNA is pretty much the complete package. It's all you need. If you're not careful with systems and products and even languages to a point, they can add so many things in just to try and make it better, that eventually the purity of the thing and the original starting point becomes lost, and you get sort of deluged in bits and pieces you aren't that bothered about. XNA hit 4, it kind of peaked, and they could have kept it around, but instead they said, when Metro comes along, which is the Windows 8 desktop, we're not going to support XNA on that. And at that point, lots of sad faces, because that meant you couldn't sell XNA games in the Windows marketplace on the Windows platform, which was kind of a sad time. That would have probably been the end of it, although there's a codicil to this story, which is kind of interesting. But then along came Monogame. A bunch of enthusiasts basically said, this is such a good platform, we're not going to let it die. And they conceived and designed one of the worst graphics I have ever seen, which I think is someone's head with a brain and some stuff in it, or it could be a boxing glove, or I really don't actually know. I mean, I'm quite pleased when you say that's the logo for the project. That cheers me up, because at least I haven't wasted time on the graphic design aspects. Way to diss the product, Rob. Anywho, it's based on a thing called SharpDX, which is a managed version of DirectX, and it's an open source implementation of the XNA framework. And another thing I tell my students a lot is that another way to make a really strong impact in all kinds of ways is to get involved in open source programming. Do a little bit. Get your name out there. Write some SSH software. How could that possibly go wrong? Moving on. Get your name out there. If you just get involved in the testing side to start with and then start putting bits and pieces in. And so if you are serious about this business and do want to make a name for yourself, I would go and say hi to the Monogame team. They're a lovely bunch of folks, and they're always looking for new blood and folk to get involved. And you're in managed code, so it's a nice place to be. And so these guys came along and said, we're not going to let XNA die. We're going to write our own version. We're going to keep all the design the same and just re-implement the whole thing from scratch. It's very, very easy to take XNA games you've already written and port them onto Monogame. There's quite a steady stream of these. There's people that have written some really nice stuff that runs on the Xbox 360 and on the Windows desktop PC, and they're now taking those games and they're trickling into the marketplace as Monogame games. And you can release those Windows 8, Windows Phone, via the marketplace and ship them and sell them. And at that point, you're actually in business, as it were. And so Monogame is a really good direction. And it also involves a company called Xamarin, who've been in the news very recently. Xamarin are one of Microsoft's new best buddies, which probably means we're about to buy you, but but you never know. I don't really care, because as long as these two guys are pointing in the same direction, I'm a really happy chap. What Xamarin does is, and it's awesome, we use it at work, we've got quite a big infrastructure project that we've implemented using .NET, and we have a demand for that on iOS and Android devices, and so we've got Xamarin in there now, and we're now writing C# managed code and running it on these platforms. And if you've got a whole bunch of .NET stuff you want to put onto those devices, then Xamarin is just awesome, because basically it provides a platform which will just run the stuff for you. And so you can, but as far as we're concerned in terms of Monogame, the good news is you can take your Monogame apps and you can now target iOS and Android. And we've had students do this. If you're a student, the licensing for Monogame is actually, so for some reason, it's quite cheap. And so they sign up for that. When they get involved in any of our game development competitions, they run two tracks. They'll write a Windows Phone version and then another guy beyond the iOS or the Android conversion, and they'll make the two things together and they'll slide the assets across, and it all just works. The bad news is Xamarin you have to buy. The good news is it's a great place to run managed code apps. So if you're looking at iOS and Android and thinking, how on earth do I take all my stuff and slide it across? The answer is this thing. Just go to the website, take a look, download a demo version, have a play with it, because it's really, really nice. And it's saved us at Hull a ton of work. And in fact, a friend of mine, he's writing managed code and targeting Android first, because that's what the customer wanted. And they're quite happy because it just works, and we're quite happy because we're writing C#, which is the best language in the world, bar none. So there you go, all good. The thing that's also interesting, though, behind the scenes, there may be life in the old dog yet, because Microsoft have actually released the entire XNA framework as open source on CodePlex. So if you do want to actually see how the programs work and dig in and get involved in a really interesting possible development, then go on there and take a look. It's all now open source. Go to codeplex.com and then you'll find it all there. And what they've also done, which is very interesting for me as well, by default, XNA is no longer part of Visual Studio, but they have installers for the 2012, I think, is the most recent one. 2013 will come fairly soon, I guess. So you can basically put XNA onto your PC and use it to write games to target the PC from the latest versions of Visual Studio. So just download this zip file, follow the instructions in the installer, README, and then you'll have XNA on your desktop, which is nice. So you can do all this fun stuff as it was meant to be without needing Monogame at all. And in fact, if you go on to the Windows Phone Developer website, you can pull down the version 8 of the toolchain for Windows Phone, which again is a free download. That will let you write XNA games for PC, desktop, and also for all versions of Windows Phone. And I've specifically asked Microsoft the question, will you support XNA games going forward on the Windows Phone platform? And the answer has come back, yes. So if you do want to write some XNA, you want to target the Windows phones, and this will cover Windows Phone 7.51 upwards, so it's the old school, Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, then you can do that with this technology like that, and just do all the building and everything. And that's not a bad way to travel. You lose out on some of the Windows Phone 8 goodness, some of the things you can't use because they're not supported by those libraries, but you can still write awesome little games and make a name for yourself and whatnot just using that. So you don't actually need XNA Monogame at all, really, unless you want to target Windows 8.1 on phone or desktop. Here's a good website, csharpcourse.com. I'll just see if I can find it. It's actually a cunning link to my blog. Some people get tattoos. These are really expensive and hard to remove. I get domain names. They're much cheaper, and you have to pay rental on them, but csharpcourse.com, you just go down there. It links through to a page on my blog. You can get the yellow book. How many folk have heard of the yellow book? Ah, a few, that's nice. The yellow book it's a book that's yellow. I don't know why we went for yellow, but it's basically it's our entire first year programming course from Hull University. and it teaches you how to program C#. If you're, I think everyone in here would read that and go, yeah, I know all this, which is fine. But if you're learning the language, it's a good place to go. And you can download it for free as a PDF. You can also find it on Kindle. I have to charge there because Kindle make you charge. You can give it out to your friends. You can print it off. As long as you keep the cover yellow, I'm happy. That on the cover, by the way, that's Simon's rubber duck. My friend Simon has an interesting debugging procedure which involves a rubber duck. That sounds disgusting. Moving on. What he does, if he's stuck, he'll get his duck out and he'll explain his problem to the duck. And halfway through explaining it, he'll go, ah, I know what it is, and they'll go off and fix it. People have cats just for this reason, so they can tell the cat why it's not working. And halfway through, they'll go, oh, yeah, and the cat will become very clever, and so on. But, yeah, Simon's rubber duck is yellow. Next year's book will have custard on the cover, and so we go. But if you go down here, there's also the Windows Phone Blue book, which is, it doesn't cover Windows Phone Blue, the book is blue, which is massively confusing. They picked the name after I did, so it's their fault. But further down here, there's actually a link through to version 2 of my book in downloadable PDF form and a whole bunch of resources. So if you do want to learn XNA, then take a look at csharpcourse.com. And there, of course, is a link to the wonderful book you can actually go and buy. and there's a book about Connect, what I wrote as well. So that's a good place to go for free stuff. And so we're having plug my book and my blog. I will now move on to the next slides. So, let's do some mono game. Before you can do it, you need a version of Visual Studio 10, 12, or 13, and you can download it from monogame.net. And it's basically a little installer. It installs a bunch of libraries and some templates, and then away you go. I'm using version 3.01 on 2012 version of Studio. That was... I wrote this slide deck. I had it all good to go. And the day after I'd done it, a new version of Monogame came out. But so this is not quite up to date. No, please not that. And so this is not quite the current one, but the new one is a download. You can get this one as well if you want to use the one that I've been working with. But put those things in there. Install from the browser. Put in all the options. And jobs are good. That means that we can now make a whole bunch of different projects which are monogame related. This includes marketplace versions, so you can effectively construct a game which you can then publish in the marketplace should you wish to do that too, which is rather nice. So when you get your solution, that's what you get, all the usual things. Now, if you were used to XNA, which hardly anyone here is, which is fine, you'd be going, where's the content project? Because the way that XNA works is that it has a specific project which will take your assets, and by assets I mean sound effects, I mean graphics, I mean scripts for your scripted behaviors perhaps, maybe some 3D models, a whole bunch of textures, all that stuff is basically treated by XNA as an input to a content pipeline which then gets massaged into a format which is transparent across all the versions. So that means that we make the content and it works on any of the target devices. But there's no content project here in Monogame because Monogame is strictly a consumer of resources. It can't actually create content. So what you have to do is make the content using an old school XNA project and then drop it into the project. And I'll show you that in a minute or two. If you actually run it, then that's what you get. You get a cornflower blue screen. That's what XNA, if your starting point is cornflower blue, if you like cornflower blue, then you're so well in, it's not true. If you want to do it, you can't run the Windows Phone emulator with your Monogame program, but you can deploy to a device and debug in there, which is kind of how I write games. Games are one of those situations where good though the emulation is, it doesn't quite cut it in terms of the user experience. So I have a steady stream of students coming knocking on my office door saying, can I put my game on your phone or whatnot, just to see how it feels when you tip it and how the behavior is. And off I go and we do that. So you need to have a real platform to do that if you want. And you can run it on Windows Phone 8.1 and also Windows 8.1 and Windows RT devices. And you can deploy and debug over the network. As far as the system's concerned, it's just another Windows Metro app. And it just can be used in any of those contexts, which is kind of cute. And you can even use the symmetry. I'll show you that in a minute or two. So you can check different resolutions for the display, which is also rather useful. So we only have about 5 or 6 game writers in the room, or lots of very modest people, one of the two. But in case you were wondering, and why wouldn't you, how does a game work? Well, it does effectively 3 things. The first thing it does is loading. I keep watching new versions of consoles come along and thinking maybe there'll be a version that'll come along one day that doesn't have a loading screen. Not so. They all go in, fetch the assets, put them into memory, get them ready for use, and then once they've got that bit done, they then run the game loop as fast as they can. And the game loop is basically update the picture and update the game world as quickly as you can. And that's what games do. That's how every game that's ever been written works. And it's also how XNA works. And so when you write your XNA game, you effectively fill in 3 methods. The load content method, the draw method, and the update method. And the template gives you empty versions of those 3, and you just have to go in and do the rest. There's also a 4th method called initialize, where you can put setup behavior should you wish to do that. But generally speaking, you can do everything in load content, and it'll all just work. So is it time? Oh, it's time. Okay, so let's fire up Visual Studio. Oh, there's my book again. Who'd have thought? So if I now go V, and I'll fire up the old school 2012 version, and let's make ourselves a new project, and let's make it a mono game Windows Phone 8 project, and I'll call it Cracky Number 16. That's interesting, isn't it? That's my age. More like my shoe size. Anyway, moving on. So we go Tech Days Fun. So I'll hit that. Hit OK. And it'll... OK, right, fine. You're messing with my head again, universe. Why are you doing that? It secretly hates you, Rob. That's why. OK. Right, I'm going to have to show you one I've already cooked, I'm afraid, because the system's deciding to give me a hard time. I wonder why I did that. I was saying to someone this at lunchtime, I've got all my demos ready and I'm early and it's all good and fine and working. And of course the universe must have heard me say that because that didn't work. So let's just kill you off in a fit of pique and then see what other Vs I've got. That was 20. You should work. Let's get out of the car and get back in again. And try and make a project. It looks to me as if we're going to have to... I know why. It's because I'm in... how many people here are very old? Okay, do you remember DLL Hell? Yeah, I do that. So if we do that one and hit OK, that one will work. Here's the situation which I've got to dig myself into. I've got some demos that I've been using running the latest version of Windows Phone 2013 release candidate, okay? Mono game does not work with that. So I've got 2 versions of Studio on here and 1 version of the Windows Phone toolkit, which is the one for 2013, okay? So 2012 doesn't have the phone toolkit in there. And if you try and make a project which hasn't got the phone toolkit, it promptly rewards you by blowing up, as you have just seen. But I can make myself a standard desktop app, as I have just done. And if we go and have a look in game1.cs, you will see in living color just what I was talking about. And so the only difference is that you won't see it run on my little phone, but you will see it run on my PC, which is fine. We're okay with that. There's the initialize method with a to-do. Say I do initialize. And there's the load content method, which at the moment's doing nothing for me. And then drilling on down, I've got my update method, and I've got my draw method, and that's where the cornflower blue comes from. So what I can do now is I can say, okay, we'll run this. Let's run it inside the simulator, just for the hell of it. So I'll fire that up. And what will happen now is that Visual Studio will actually start the... aren't I handsome? Right. It'll start the simulation up, and then it'll deploy, and we should see a screen completely full of cornflower blue in a minute. And this is running as a Windows application. And I can prove to you that it really is doing stuff because I can do the old magic I can change this to, okay, what color is bisque? Bisque, anyone know? Let's find out. Run the program, take a look in there, and it turns out that's right, fine, okay. Well, you see, you may not have learned much, but you now know what color bisque is. So if you ever want to have bisque things in your game, then you're sorted. You're a really happy bunny. So I'll stop that because it's kind of not that interesting. But as far as we're concerned, what we would now go ahead and do is actually take our game logic and put it in the update method, and we'll take our game draw behavior and put it in the draw method. And the idea is that behind this, I'll have effectively a game world, which is basically a bunch of variables that define where things are in the game and their textures and properties. And the update method will move those around, and the draw method will render them. And that's kind of how games are. I'll show you the details of a fully working in Windows Phone Store at the moment game a little bit later. But nobody will buy it because there's nobody here that daft. Well, I don't think so anyway. We'll see. I'll ask for a show of hands in a minute. Or maybe not. So, yeah, right. The one thing I want to mention, because if you do start using Monogame, you'll hit this really early on, is the issue of content. Content is all the assets. It's all the pictures, all the sounds, all the good stuff that make the game interesting. And the bad news is you can't actually encode content using Monogame. The good news is it doesn't matter. So what we're going to do is make an XNA project which contains the content, and then take the content file and actually put it in the game. So we're going to make a brand new XNA 4 game, put a picture in it, and then we're going to actually transfer that into my empty cornflower blue game. And you're all going to clap, and we'll be happy, and we'll sing songs, and maybe not the singing songs bit, but that's what we're going to be doing next. XNB files are effectively what the pipeline works with. So the idea is that the content input processor will take whatever you've given it and actually make it into a file which is self-describing. It has a manifest at the start which tells you the system what it is, and it goes into the game. The game unpicks it. Is it a sound sample? Is it an image? Is it a model? If you want to, if you've got the time and the inclination, you can write your own content importers. So if you have a game which needs a particular format of information, you could write a thing to encode it and a thing to decode it, and that would then work across all the XNA game platforms that you use. I did this. I wrote a word game, and to do that, I needed a dictionary. So I found a few word lists, and I wrote a content importer which worked with word lists, and so I could effectively bring in my dictionary into the game and just use that. In fact, one of these things I really must ship. I should do something with that one day, because it took me about 3 weeks to write it. So moving on, but I learned a lot. So XNB files, well, in Monogame, we just give it those files, and it picks them up and uses them. And if you want to actually get them, then what you do is you have to write a standard XNA project to do it for you. And I think we shall do this now. So what I will do, I shall be brave. This is going to look, this is going to look quite weird, actually. So I'm going to go, is it there? It is, you know. I'm no good with the tab key. There you go. That's a picture of, so if I lift this up, all the wires are going to come out. That's great. You can't beat a bit of forward planning, can you? If I take it now, it looks like you're all in prison, which is fine, but let's get the audience. Audience look happy, fine. Take a picture, jolly good. What happened there? Wrong. Oh, life, come back. It's that, which is the one to take a picture? That, I'll take them on, just touch the screen. So there's no button to take a picture. So I'm taking a picture of the audience. So let's actually, let's go have a look and find that now. There's no way this could possibly go wrong, by the way. I'm completely confident. No, don't move the cloud around. What happens if you move that? Does it actually change the weather? There's students I know. The weather's going to be fine, Rob. I've checked on Google Earth. Have you indeed? That's good. in fact, there's people. You know, it's very sad, but you know that airliner that went down? There were people looking on Google Earth for the airliner, and they were spending ages going through the sea, which is, yeah, it's sad in many, many ways. So let's get Visual Studio going. 2012. Now, this time, I'm going to effectively make another new project. Let's have another implementation of the thing. Bob, make myself any old XNA game. And I'll just, if I go down to here, I should find I've got one. There you go. This is traditional XNA, and I'm going to make, doesn't matter, could be a phone game, we don't really care. And this is how you would make one normally. And then this is my very familiar, initialized, load content and what have you. And if you look at the project structure, you'll find that down below here is my content manager. So what I do is I go into my camera roll, and I grab the picture of the audience, and I drop it in the content project like that. So there it is. I now do a build. I'm never going to play this game, but I am going to use it to prepare my content build solution. Bang. It's built it. It seems quite happy. We'll see it. So now I have to do some spelunking. So this is how I do it. I go, save as. Where are we? And it says, okay, we're in Windows Phone Game 1, which is in, where are we? Come on, show me. Okay, that's fine. I can do that. So let's go digging around. It's got my... I had this stand-up gig, which was promptly cancelled after I'd written all the script. I'm still seething over that. That was my chance for stardom. So there you go. There are other reasons why I'm not a star. I am sure. So let's find Rob Miles documents. Visual 12, projects. Is this text really small or is it me? Windows Phone Game 1, into the binary directory, into there, debug. And if we look very carefully, we should see a picture in the content folder. There it is. That's my XNB file. Took a while to get there, but there it is. And so this is effectively the picture I've just taken, but it's been coded into an XNB asset for the phone to use, for XNA to use. So now I go back to my original game. Here we go. And I make myself a folder called content because that works. Other names don't work. Content, there you go. And what I can do now with a bit of luck and the following wind is I can get hold of that content file. And I can drag you across and drop you on there. And so there he is. He's got a really impressive name. I think I'll change that because I'll never type that in. Oh, no, I'll just copy it. Oh, no, don't do that. That's bad. All I want to do is I'll rename you, please. And I'll call you PX, okay? And then in here, I'll say, you are now an item of content. And I will say, copy you to the output directory. It won't hear me. It's not Cortana, but you never know. So, when I build my program now, I'm going to have an asset called PX in the program. What I have to do now is go into my game and give myself a texture, a 2D texture, which we'll call PX. And then in my content method, I'm going to load you. So in here, I'm going to go... content.load and lovely use of generics. I want a texture 2D, please. And I want to get it from a file called PX. And that's my content. So this is how games work. Okay, so what we do is we effectively fetch the assets in our load. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to decide, we need to know whereabouts on the screen to draw this thing. So I'm going to make a rectangle, which I'm going to call PR, if we like. And I'm going to make a new rectangle, and it will be, let's place it at 0, 0, and give it a width of, say, 320, and a height of 240. Things might get a bit scrunched up, but we can live with that. So I've got a rectangle called PR, and a texture called PX. Everyone okay so far? The question is, one XMB file per asset? Yes. But if you are doing things like sprite animation, where you have lots and lots and lots of frames, then what you do, because XNA lets you actually draw from part of a texture rather than all of it, then what our students do is they make a sprite map, and then you just get each one in turn from there. But the answer to the question is yes. If you want to have 100 pictures, you have to have 100 XMB files. Yes. You have to have XNA proper on your machine to make these files.
So it's not finished yet.
So what's not finished yet?
The mono
Monogame do not encode XNA assets for you yet. But this is a kind of like a, you could make a workflow up, you could script this if you wanted to, and then use the command line versions of the tools to actually build it for you. In fact, that would be a good student project, Rob. I should definitely do that. But to get back to the plot, we have our one picture. It's in my game. Now all I have to do is draw it. So let's do just that. The way that these things work, we actually batch up our drawing operation in using a thing called a sprite batch, which is a class. In fact, my brain is now working because I think in this version they go underscore sprite batch. They do. So tell Mr. Sprite Batch, begin batching up the drawing operations, and then when you finish, tell Mr. Sprite Batch. He might not be a Mr. actually, but you get the picture. So this guy is going to effectively take a whole bunch of drawing operations, batch them all together, and then pass them across to the GPU. And the reason why games do that is that if you've ever played a game, lots of textures are repeated. If you've got 16 different Space Invaders, you'll have probably 4 or 5 different textures tops. And so what this lets you, the system, do is effectively spot all that and then ship all those textures across once and then only ship new ones across if the textures change. Because the GPU to CPU transfer is basically a great big bottleneck that you want to avoid using as much as possible. So Sprite Batch does the batching. It also does the drawing. So if I go like this, and again, this is how games work. So I'm going to give you a texture, which is called PX, and PR will say we're to draw it, and we'll shine a white light on it. When I can spell it, call the dot white. This is quite a nice trick, too. We'll play with this. So having done that, I've now actually got to the point where I have a game which will just run and draw my texture. Let's see if it goes, shall we? Well, hello. Did I not assign it? Did I forget PX is there? And then in load content. Oh, because I'm an idiot. PX equals. I didn't think C let you do that. Right, let's do this again. So what I've shown is that you can take a roundabout route to get textures in. I mean, in terms of how games work, what we then do is if I stop this program running, if I go into update, now, I haven't really told you how these things work, but you'll get an idea from this. If I go PR.x++ and PR.y++, then that effectively moves the drawing position of the rectangle. It increases x, it increases y each time around. So if I run it now, what you will see is the thing will slowly move down the screen because update and draw are called 60 times a second by the XNA framework. That will now just disappear off into the distance, never to be seen again. But if you are making a game like Pong or Angry Birds or whatnot, you'd be doing collision detection, you'd be detecting when it hits the edge and making it bounce and all that kind of good stuff. So you can see fundamentally how you make it go. I mean, you can have other kinds of fun. I can change the color here to red, and this is kind of cute because what will happen now is it'll actually draw a sort of a red version of you lot because it's now shining a red light on there. And so you can even teach kids how colors combine to make other colors and how all the green things in that image will now be black because shine a red light on a green thing and it's black, which is quite cute. And you can also draw using transparency, so you can actually use things as filters. And so at this point, I just start fiddling with code and making things bounce and sliding things over. And so I'm here now for about a week just twiddling around. But in terms of the fundamentals of the game, I think that's probably given you a good understanding of how you do it in terms of making a game and also in terms of how you get your assets out of the camera or anywhere, encode them using a project, and then actually drop them in to your game and actually use them as assets in the game. So that wasn't a complete waste of time, which is something of a relief. Where's my deck? There we go. So that worked, and you clapped, and we're all going to be able to move on now, which is great. One trick I do, which makes life a bit easier, you don't have to copy the files across. You can just put in file links. So this way, if your import pictures change, you can get the thing to actually pull in the updated versions, having to copy them across again. That's kind of a good trick. So you can think about doing that. That's quite a good. So here we go. I've talked about the business of actually making one again from scratch. Let's talk about conversion. Cheeselander is the only landing cheese on the bread game in the Windows Phone marketplace, and we have sold some copies. Okay, I did this lecture in rhyme a while back, because I do these things for the hell of it, about game development. And as a gesture of my goodwill to all men and generosity, I said, I'll give all the proceeds from sales of the Windows Phone game Cheeselander to charity. And so far, the Red Cross is about £3.50 better off. Yay. So there you are. I got this huge round of applause. Then I showed the sales figures, and everyone went, huh. So Cheeselander was originally written in XNA, and it was written as a demo for the XNA lectures I used to do years and years ago. You tip the phone to land the cheese on the bread, that's it, really. And if you don't land it fast enough or you hang over the edge, you actually end up losing, which is bad. In terms of how you would convert it, it's pretty much exactly what you would expect. You make a brand new empty project. You make this folder called content, which will hold all the content you're going to have. Then you drop in all the XMB files. And these are the ones that I manufactured. And it was quite sweet because I had the XNA game lying around, which I'd already built. So all I had to do was just take all the files that had already been built for the thing and just copy them across. And I did that, and it was good. So just did that, brought them all in. This is something you have to be aware of. When you tell Studio this is a piece of content, you must tell it to copy the file across so that the program will then find it when it wakes up. So copy if newer will do that for you. And then at that point, we're in business. If I tell, by default, the system looks in the content folder for the content, so you have to make that and put the files in there. Bring in a whole bunch of namespaces. These are the ones that I had to add, which are supplied as part of the Monogame framework. And after I did that, everything worked. XNA provides extremely good access to the touchscreen and the accelerometer on the phone. And this access and behavior slides across to the PC as well. So you can take your game and migrate it onto a tablet like that. In fact, I did it with a game that I wrote for the phone, and it took me about an evening to migrate it across. That was Rob's Red Nose game, which I might show you a bit of a little bit later. The trouble with that was that the game is entirely touch-based. You touch red noses on the screen and make them do stuff. And I sent it off to the marketplace, and they said, there's no keyboard input, fail. And I thought, okay, so this is inherently touch. It's a phone-type game. There's no way you can make it keyboard-based, and so it can never be sold in the phone. And I wish I'd read that to start with, because it would just save me a lot of work. But I digress. You can change some parts of the behavior to make it better, and early versions of the Mono game had issues with sound effects, which has now been fixed. On the phone, that is. On the PC, they work extremely well. So here we go. Let's see if I can get Cheeselander on Mono game to work, because this is if nothing else, you've seen the only cheese landing game on a phone in existence. Let's go and dig that out of its hole in the ground, shall we? Open project solution, original Cheeselander. Let's have a look at you. This is the original Cheeselander, which I wrote and is for sale. I can run it in the emulator. In fact, no, because I've got this lovely fangled visualizer thing, which I'm dying to play with. I'll put it on the real phone. Whoa! That way I'll sell loads more, because you'll be so impressed. Give me back my button. Oh, what are you doing now? Oh. Anyway, there it is, but we'll kill that off. And we'll try and... My Bluetooth mouse is not a well mouse. He's sort of... Well, that I've got DT, is one of the two. It's now deploying to the phone. So if I do that, you can actually see the phone. Deployment errors. Surely some mistake. Right. Oh, you stinker. Okay. Right, okay. That went well, didn't it, Rob? Let's just try that again. No, it's not going to work. You know it's not going to work. No. Oh, I know what it is. It's because the universe hates me. Remember my two versions of Visual Studio? It's found the wrong one. Yeah, I'm in DLL hell, absolutely. I'm thinking of leaving. It's not very nice. Open it. If I click on it, it doesn't use the right thing. It's a perfect time to release a new version of the system. You can't see any of that because all you can see is the phone. Ha! So I could be doing anything. There were deployment errors. No. No, what's wrong now? Mother told me there would be days like these. I said that yesterday too. Unable to. Oh, okay. It's complaining because I've got too many developer applications on here. So if I just go in here and get rid of Datagram Listen, he can go. Yeah. Cheeselander is there, but I want you to see it running properly. I don't want you to think that I'm in any way hoodwinking you. That's a good word, is hoodwink. Right, so in it goes. Right, Cheeselander, a real game of skill for people like me. So what you do is you touch the screen, and you have to land the cheese on the bread by tipping. Oh, too much, go back a bit. And then if you do it the right speed, unfortunately, if you do the wrong speed, you get that. So you do it again, and now we come again. And great sound effects. And that's it, you see. It is possible. Okay, one more. Well, okay, right, so I'm not. If it doesn't work this time, I'm going to press the button that makes it always work. No, there isn't one of those. I wish there was. But now, it seems to me that the world should have more of this. And so what I did was basically took the XMB files and the whole lot and moved it back to mono game. And so I have got a version of it which runs on a Windows 8.1 device, one of these things, under mono game as well, which, shall we? No. I haven't got time for that. So that's Cheeselander. You can transfer it across. In fact, that might have been the 8.1 version running. I honestly can't remember. But what we'll do now, because it's good. It's very, very easy to design monogame projects for Windows 8 as well as the phone. You just change the project type. And in fact, I've done that. I showed you that. That was the first one. The Prograte as built will run on x86 and RT versions of Windows. So you can target monogame apps, you can run them. We've actually, we did an entry into Global Game Jam last year, which we turned into a Windows Store game and put out there. We're doing that with, in fact, we've done it twice since with other programs that we've written. It's very easy. There's a nice little workflow here which goes through to head for the Windows thing device. One thing I'll mention which you also might find very interesting and useful is Farseer. One of the things about making games is that they benefit from a little bit of physics. Now, the Cheeselander game has got some physics in it. You could see me tipping the screen to get the acceleration to behave. And in the case of XNA, it's actually very easy to do that. In fact, I'll show you the code. It's actually very, 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 very sweet. So Cheeselander, if you look at it, it's obeying all the rules of the game, including that clear is kind of superfluous because I don't need to do that. My sprite batch begin. The way that games end up being, they end up being state machines. In fact, pretty much every program I've ever written has wound up being a state machine. It might just be me and the things that I write. But effectively, the game has a number of states. It has a title state, which is showing you the welcome to the game screen. It has a playing state, which is showing me the movement and tipping the thing to play it. It has a pause state, a won state, and a lost state. And this is the draw behavior that you can see for each of those states. And basically, if I'm playing it, I draw the background texture, the bread and the cheese. If I'm paused, I'll play the paused texture. And if I've won it, I'll just play the 1-1, and so on and so forth. That's my draw behavior. There's nothing more to it than that. If I roll back up here, my update behavior is pretty much the same pattern, in that I've got a state for each of the possible game states and a method for each one. So if I go into update game, which is the one that implements the gameplay, if I go to definition on that one, then this looks for the back button because that means stop. It then also takes the reading from the accelerometer. It then sets the engine sound. The sound effect playback is basically you can play a single sound sample and make it loop, and what XNA will let you do is change the pitch and volume of the sound dynamically. So what I'm doing here is I'm using the length of the acceleration vector to get the actual sort of volume of the thing. Then I'm also, if I go in here, I can show you the code again. It basically says, yeah, change the volume and change the pitch so that it gets more high pitch the more power you put in. There's just two lines of code. I mean, it sounded quite impressive, at least to me. So it's nice to know how these things work. Then I update the speed, I get the acceleration and add that to the speed. Then I update the position by just adding the speed to the current position. And that's my physics model. And the nice thing about XNA is it does vector arithmetic for me like that. So I can just sort of add the positions. And this is a good way to teach kids how vectors work. Once you've done that, we then take our rectangle, which is where the cheese is being drawn, and set the X and the Y positions to it. The rectangle is positioned on integer. It's a pixel-based device, whereas my speed and position are all floating point. So I have to do this little bit of conversion, and then I bounce off the sides if I have to, if it hits the X or the if it hits the edges, and then down here is my game. If I've hit the bread, then if we're on the bread and our speed is below a certain threshold, then we play the game one method. If I haven't and I've lost, and what these do is basically, if I show you this one, if I go down here, the definition, then it stops the engine, plays the one sound, and then sets the state of the state machine to that. So this is probably not the most tight code, but I find it kind of easy to understand. And this is, if you take this structure and just use it for games that you want to write, then absolutely fine, it'll serve you very well. And so that's how the game works. But my physics engine is fine, but I've only got one object, which is the piece of cheese. And what I'd like to do is collisions and stuff like that. And to get back to the plot, Farseer is brilliant for that. Now, Farseer is an open source physics engine written in managed code. I actually met the guy that wrote it, and it was kind of embarrassing, mostly for him, I think. You're the guy that wrote Farseer? That's amazing! Whoa! He's going, no, okay, right, fine, yes. release the hug. but no, I know. No, we Brits don't know. Actually, no, that's not true, because we don't do hugging at all, okay? Brits don't hug. Americans do, and French do, and we find it very scary, but Brits don't hug, okay? So, moving on. Right. Monogame and Farseer go very well together. And one of the things I've actually written, and again, you can have this to play with, is a thing called Destruction Golf. And this is kind of like a work in progress, and it's been that way for the last however many years. But I can show you it working. I'm going to use the version of Visual Studio, which I know will work. And I can show you very quickly. This isn't really a session on physics engines per se, but I can show you how the game sets things up. So if I go and have a look in my Game 1 class, it's going to be kind of boring, so I'm going to have the same old load content and what have you. It has a font for drawing text, and it also has a physics simulator. And in my load content method, it's got a few more bits and pieces, balls and stuff. In load content, I actually get some of my wonderful artwork, and I create some physical bodies which are managed by the Farseer engine for me, okay? So Farseer is going to do all the physics stuff, and my rendering behavior will just be to take the objects from wherever Farseer has put them and drop them on the screen, and my game engine behavior will be to detect collisions between objects and do appropriate things, and also to detect when things go into certain places. And that's pretty much it, okay? Everything else is handled for me by the engine. And Destruction Golf, I'll run it full screen because it works best full screen. So we'll do that, and I'll fire it up, and you'll see what I mean. I've only made the first... Is it not working?
Eight errors.
Wow, that's less than last time. Why you hate me so much? Oh, I know why. Yeah, okay. Rebuild solution. Oh, we've all failed. Okay, right, fine. Pale contains two. Right. You see, this is the problem with having a tidy mind. Because what I thought I would do is I would actually put all my demos in one place so that I wouldn't have problems like this. So if I now do a build again, I get the same number of errors. Okay, good-o. How's it going, Rob? Been better. Let's just have a look in here, and then in 2012 projects, and then we'll find in the projects file down here, we have got a whole lot of games. No Destruction Golf, though. Oh, you stinker. Okay. Well, the thing is, it's really good, and I'd hate you all to sort of... Yes, okay. Let's have a little look in you. Bill succeeded. Hurrah for that. So you are going to see it after all. It's to do with the fact that what I do is I try and put all my demos in a demo folder, but the system for some reason is fairly sensitive to that. I'll make sure that whatever I ship out on robmiles.com, the famous website... Okay. Let's try. Let's do... What I do now is I do a clean. Cleans are good. And then I'm going to run it. Okay, so I do a clean, I do a build, the build succeeds, it then won't work. Okay, well, okay, that one failed, but slower. Okay, does anyone here happen to know what error DFPR7 happens to be? You mean we're going to get out of the car and get back in again and see what happens? Oh, I like that. That's a man after my own heart. Absolutely. Let's do that. I think what it might be complaining about is the fact that I've actually got this thing already running. So I'll get rid of that. And I'll just go back to where I was. And I'll start up, not you, because you are the way of pain and torment. I'm going to go Visual Studio 12. This one here. Nice clean copy. You happy now? Right, so now we're going to go open project. And we're going to go and find the one I know will work for sure. And I'm going to hit build. And, oh, poo. Oh, no. No. I had a copy, didn't I? Okay. Let's do that again. One last time. Yeah, I'm not panicking at all, really. 12. The copy one was the one that got closest, wasn't it? Yes, it was. So we go up to here, and we go into there, and we go into there, and we hit open. And then we went like that. That was actually clapping for my incompetence. But quite frankly, I will take it because I am that desperate. If you saw what happened when the game... The idea of Destruction Golf was, I gave this to the students as a template app to play with. And the idea is that you play golf by destroying things. And so what we have is fixed platforms like this thing here and beautifully drawn artwork on there, which is effectively a little house. And the ball is the thing on the left-hand side, which I can flick. Now, all I did, and this was literally 10 lines, no, less than that, it was 3 lines of code. The XNA framework supports gestures, which you can bind to. So you can say, whenever you get a flick event, give me that. And so the update method will check, have we got a flick? Yes, we have. Can I have the vector from that flick? Please give in direction and magnitude. Yes, you can. I take that vector, scale it, and apply it to the ball. And that's all I do. So if I go flick, then it hits the house and knocks it off, and then actually lands perfectly on the platform. And that's the first time... Oh, okay, not so good. That's the first time I've ever done it quite so well. But the idea with the golf game was that you would basically go from level to level to level, knocking houses off the platforms. And, oh, that's so sad. See, what will happen is if I get to the bottom, bang, the game now resets. Because I'm not doing any work at all to actually generate the behavior. If I do another flick, then, oh, that's a bit too high. So that will go. It'll go over the top. It's actually tracking that. It's now actually across. The ball will come down. Come on, ball. Where are you? My texture is not as big as it should be. There you go. The ball comes down and flies into the thing, and then bang, and it resets. So I gave this to the students, saying, "Make a game with this," and it has to involve. And they took it and put the assets in and did a better job. There you go. You don't just have to have 2 or 3 objects. You could have lots and lots and lots. But the idea would be that you then flick it to the next one, and next one. I mean, it's not Flappy Bird, but then again, what is? Ha! But can you see that this is actually... It's almost Angry Birds. You could actually build Angry Birds with this technology. Wouldn't be too hard to do that. So the good news for me, though, was that the actual code was extremely easy to write. I mean, like I was saying... I just stop this thing if I dare do that. Yeah. And we go and have a look in the game method. Where are we? Game1.cs. You're around here somewhere. I know you are. Yep, you're in here. Then, okay, open up. There you go. You're going to see the same old, same old. And then if I go down as far as the update method, there's my setup. There's my load content. That places things on the screen. Then down here, that's my reset, put the ball back where it is when it falls off the bottom. And then in my update, if we're aiming, I wait for a gesture. If I get it, I actually read it off the thing. I then take the... this is a very simple two-state. I'm using a Boolean as my state machine. I just say, you're not static anymore. Static objects are basically nailed to the backdrop. Okay, so I suddenly make it... controlled by the physics engine, and I then just apply an impulse to it, which is the same size as the gesture. And I found that 1.5 was a good fiddle factor to get the actual size about right. So when you flick it, the behavior seems to behave itself. In terms of how Farseer works, you give it a vector, which is G, to tell it which way gravity is. Now, it will be the work of 2 lines of code to tie that vector to the accelerometer. So now they can control the G acting on all the objects. You could write a for loop and drop out thousands and thousands of balls and houses and whatnot and put those in and make them all bounce off each other. And it, generally speaking, it's a leveling up your playground in that now you can play around with things that have got physical behaviors to them. And you can set things like the elasticity and the friction and the mass of objects so that you can get them to behave in a way that makes sense when you play test. And so if you do want to sort of take your mono game fun and games and actually go even beyond that, then Farseer is a good look. And I'll put that sample code up. The one that compiles and runs would be the best one, I think. I'll put that up for you to download and play with as well. So just to recap, mono game lets you hit any platform, pretty much. Windows 8, iOS, Android. The bottom bullet point is actually worth keeping in mind, though. It's free, but there's no such thing as free, really. You have to put a bit of work in to make it go. The forums are very good. The support is very good. The people involved are excellent fellows. But you'll get stuff that doesn't work properly, and you'll have to get your hands dirty and fiddle out why and figure out which particular formats of WAV file the plaything will accept, and you'll end up doing a bit of spelunking and digging around the code. And of course you can do, because it's all open source, you just fork a build, put it on your machine and away you go, so you can do all that kind of thing. But you will have to go through that pain. This is not a packaged product. It's basically an ongoing open source work in progress, and it has all those pitfalls. I don't care about that from a learning point of view. It's a great way to get involved in a project, and the price you pay is well worth it, because it's your own time, and that time is spent learning. But you will have to actually deal with that. You can run the device things once you've made them on phones, and as I was said, if you leave with Xamarin, you can target any device that you really fancy. And that's pretty much me done. There are some more sessions which I'm contractually obliged to mention. Go to the Andy Wiggly one and cheer from the back a lot. He likes that. Andy likes hugs as well, so go and hug him before the session. He'll love that. But there's some more sessions to come. I mean, that's pretty much me done. Don't forget to stand a chance of winning one of those stranger shaped things, and we have evaluating to fill in. What I will do before I sign off, though, is anyone have any questions? Yep. For some, there is actually a PNG importer, I think, now. So
with the modern monogame, I just drag my feedback.
And it works?
Yeah.
Okay, that's worth knowing. The question was, I'm using PNGs and it works, and the answer is, that's nice. I may have wasted some of your time. Never mind, I'll get over it. But thank you for that. I'll try that and see if it works. Yes. Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you so much for being a great audience.